Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you and thank you for the gift of life in your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the gift of another day that we can enjoy before you. We pray that you would be with us, that you would help us to live to your glory today, that you would turn our hearts toward you by the power of your Spirit, that you would speak to us through your word, that you would minister grace and comfort to us. Father, be with us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. 1 John chapter 3, verses 4 through 10. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous, as he is righteous. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. By this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. Ooh, boy. I'll tell you. This is a convicting passage. Got a little bit of personal history with this passage and the convicting nature of it. When I was a young man, 20 years old, I was struggling with my faith. I had done some foolishly sinful things in my recent past and had sort of been living in a persistently foolishly sinful way for an extended period of time in my recent past. But I was struggling. I was seeking to, turn to the Lord and live the way that I knew that I should live. I was a Christian, but I was sinning against God. There's no other way to put it, and someone said, well, if you're struggling with assurance of your salvation, because I was, I had a lot of doubt as to whether I was truly a Christian. They said, if you're struggling with your salvation, you should read 1 John. 1 John is the book to read for assurance of your salvation. And it started off okay, and then I got to this section here in chapter 3, and I just about gave up. I was like, because there was no doubt that I was making a practice of sinning. I wasn't anymore at that point in my life. I had stopped that. I was repenting. I was seeking the Lord. But this passage just threw me for a loop. I didn't really know what to make of this because, the truth is we all know that we all sin. John said that right at the beginning, right? If we say we have no sin, we lie and the truth is not in us. If we say we have no sin, we make him out to be a liar. But if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin. But here he is saying, anyone makes a practice of sin, then, he's not a child of God. He's of the devil. Whoever makes a practice of sin is of the devil. How do we understand this? Well, let's ask some key questions of this passage to break down what John is saying here. Let's look, first of all, he repeats this, he appeared, the Son of God appeared. And he gives us the purpose. So why? Why did Jesus come? It's a very basic kind of question to ask of this passage, but it's a good place to start. Why did Jesus come? Well, in verse 5, he says, you know that he appeared in order to take away sins. And in verse 8 says, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. Sin is definitely a work of the devil. You can see that parallelism here, right? So Jesus came to take away our sins, that is to destroy the works of the devil. So then, what characterizes those who have been born of God and those who abide in Christ? Because there's references throughout this passage of those who are born of God and those who abide in Christ. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. no one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him. Well, how do we really know then if someone is born of God and is abiding in him? Well, whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. So those clarifying questions may or may not have helped clarify things for you. Let's go back and put them back into their context to see what's happening here. Lawlessness. John is concerned with lawlessness. Why? Well, if we throw out the moral law of God, if we throw out the law of love, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, which is unpacked for us in the Ten Commandments. If we chuck that out the window, fundamentally what we are saying in our hearts and minds is, I do not want God to rule over me. I will rule over myself. Thank you very much. We call this antinomianism, anti-lawism, and also autonomy, self-law, right? So those who are antinomian, those who are against the law of God, are in fact seeking to practice autonomy, self-law, self-rule. That is really at the heart of what John is getting at here. There were people within the church in these early days, because they had a low view of the flesh, which we'll get to later when we talk about his emphasis on how Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. These people have a low view of the flesh. And so they would say, it doesn't matter what I do in my flesh. You know, it's just my flesh. This little body, this temporary, you know, animated carcass of mine that I live in, it doesn't matter. Come on. What matters is the purity of my inner spirit. What matters is the purity of my, you know, soul's communion with God. Which means that they take all the aspects of the moral law, which flesh out what it means to love God with all your heart, mind. Did you hear the barking earlier? This is the source of the barking earlier. This is the Hazelpoe. And he barks sometimes. But he wanted to come see me. All right. So they said, you know, all the law of God, love the Lord and love your neighbor. Okay, but once you start fleshing that out in terms of don't commit adultery and don't steal and don't bear false witness and don't covet and don't worship any idols or other images of God or whatever, all of those kinds of things, they say, well, come on. That's all part of this sort of earthly existence. That's all part of this sort of fleshly life. And surely that has nothing to do with the high spiritual transcendent things of God. So you see what he's getting at? Lawlessness. He's aiming his arrow at lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. At the heart of it, when I make repeated deliberate choice to sin, again, I'm saying, I don't want God to rule over me. I want to rule over myself. And John is unpacking in here, and he's saying, basically, you cannot have that be the desire of your heart, the intention of your mind, and the trajectory of your life, and call yourself a Christian who has been born of God. Because that kind of rebelliousness, that kind of lawlessness, that kind of autonomy is satanic. It's literally satanic. It comes from Satan. It is how the children of the devil act. Look at the world. The world, which is in rebellion against God, unbelievers who do not know God, how do they live? They make a law for themselves. I will live according to my conscience. You do you, right? That's the phrase, you do you. That's not submitting to God's law. Oh, well, just, you know, you do you. I'll do me. That's the very summation of autonomy. And that is completely, completely inappropriate for a child of God. John is not saying here, however, something that contradicts what he said in the opening of his letter, which is that if you're a child of God, you're never going to sin. That's not what he's talking about. He's not talking about the times when we get frustrated and we lose our temper and we say some things that we immediately regret and we feel bad about, and we seek the Lord and we ask him for forgiveness and we ask forgiveness of the person that we offended. He's not talking about the times when we, you know, overindulge our flesh in one way or another, or we're lazy, or we're apathetic, or we're just, we fall into these patterns, right? Even if we fall into these patterns for a period of time, as long as there is this sense of, I know this is wrong, I don't like this, I hate this, I want to turn to the Lord, I want to be freed from this, I want him to forgive me and to restore me, and I want to ask forgiveness of the one I'm offended and be restored to them. As long as that spirit of repentance and humble submission to God is there, well, that's not the work of the devil. That's not how the children of the devil act. They don't sincerely seek God and ask for forgiveness and seek the forgiveness of the other and seek to be reconciled and walk in the light, right? So it really has to do with the disposition, the fundamental orientation of our hearts. Everyone sins. John laid that foundation at the very beginning. It's so important that he did. Everyone sins. If you say you have no sin, you're a liar. But what is the orientation of your heart? Is the orientation of your heart to say to the Lord, yes, Lord, you are the Lord. I am your child. Jesus has come to free me from sin. I want to walk in the freedom that he has given me. Jesus has come to give me his righteousness. I want to walk in the righteousness that he has given me. And here's where the rubber meets the road and how we can live this out. Here's some application for you. The next time you are tempted to sin, remember these two things and turn to God in prayer with them. Jesus came to do away with sin, and Jesus came as the righteous one to give us his righteousness that we might walk in it. So the next time that you are tempted to sin, you're in the moment, you stop and you say, Lord Jesus, I know that you came to do away with sin and to be my righteousness and lead me in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Lord Jesus, would you, by your Spirit, turn my heart away from this sin? Get this sin out of my life. And would you lead me in your righteousness that I might walk in your righteousness? Pray to him in that way, because that's what he came to do. And if your heart is inclined that way, if that's how you want to pray, if that's your desire, then you are a child of God. God's seed abides in you. You cannot just keep on sinning. It bothers your conscience. It troubles your spirit. You cannot just keep on sinning because you are a child of God. And that's the desire of your heart. And that's how you can have assurance that you are one who has been born of God. By this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness, if that's something, what I just said is of no interest to you whatsoever, you think, what a weirdo religious guy, who cares, I'm just going to do me. Okay, then you've shown you're a child of the devil. You're a rebellious, self-ruling person, and you need to repent and seek the Lord because he loves you and he has a better life for you. But if you do practice righteousness, including loving your brother, though you do it oh so imperfectly, though you fail and fall and stumble daily, the Lord loves you and the Lord has put his love upon you. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we need you every day. We are yours, and we have no hope apart from you. Would you be with us, and would you help us to walk in your light? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we will plan to gather, Lord willing, this Lord's Day morning at 10:30. We're meeting at the Newport Terrace, 23 Newport Drive in Forest Hill. It's the Knights of Columbus building, so As you're going down Newport Drive in Forest Hill, which is, you just get to the end on the right, and we're there, right close to where the Ma and Pa Trail crosses over. And we'd love to see you at 10:30 on Sunday morning. Come out and worship with us. We also have Sunday school for all ages that starts at 9:30. If you can't make it out with us, or you already have a church home, we're not looking to bring anybody away from their own church home, but if you need a church home and you're looking for a place to worship, come and worship with us. And if not, we'll see you back here. Not next week. I'm actually away all next week. So we'll be back in 2 weeks from today to continue our studies in 1 John. Have a blessed day in the Lord.